Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Radio.
Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight we have a great show tonight with a wonderful guest, Steve Peters. He is many things. I'm sure I'm going to miss things out here. A pastor. He was the first non-celebrity to become a celebrity, basically. Well, not become a celebrity, but be... become a celebrity for having AIDS, which is kind of crazy in a way when you think about it.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot for the AIDS community, the gay community, and also, believe it or not, he was the first person, as far as I know, that was interviewed by someone in the church, which is pretty amazing at the time as well. So there's a new movie coming out called The Eyes of Tammy Faye. And in that is that interview of Tammy and Steve. And I can't wait to find out more. Steve Peters, everybody. Steve, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, thank you, Joanne. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Please fill in the blanks because I know I left out a lot. But how are you? I hope you're well. And it was a crazy time where, God, you just looked at somebody and they thought they would catch AIDS. So how did you wind up meeting Tammy Faye or even getting – I didn't even know they had a show. Put it this way, I wasn't into that. I'm not into televangelists, and I'm not very religious. I mean, I believe in God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a very religious human being. And so I'm just really curious how that occurred because, I mean, it was taboo at the time. I mean, I'm not going to lie, right? I mean, it was a horrible time for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I'm a gay man, and I was diagnosed with AIDS in 1982. Mm. And I was very sick for 5 years, basically.
Mm.
And in 1984, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma, Kaposi sarcoma, or KS, and that gave me my terminal prognosis that they told me I had 8 months left to live. And when I defied that prediction, I went on the first antiviral drug they ever tried against HIV. And while I was on that drug, my lymphoma and Kaposi sarcoma both went into complete remission.
Right.
And then it very nearly killed me and did kill a number of other people on the drug trial. It was a disaster drug trial.
Mm.
It was during the Suriman trials that I got a call from a friend in Atlanta who was the director of AIDS Project Atlanta. And he had gotten a call from Tammy Faye Baker's producer saying that she wanted to be the first televangelist to interview a gay man with AIDS. And would I be interested in doing it? And I said, sure. I'd done a lot of debates with conservative Christians as a gay activist. And I'd done a lot of public speaking as a gay man with AIDS and had been in the media, you know, on CNN and some local news programs and stuff. So I wasn't shy about talking about being gay and having AIDS.
Of course not.
And Pam, well, it was a time of great fear.
Yes. But you weren't afraid because you were who you were at the time. You were the voice for a lot of people, so you weren't afraid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I felt like it was really important to put a human face on AIDS because very few people wanted to talk publicly about having AIDS.
Right.
There was such fear and such stigma around it. And, you know, when I was interviewed in local news stations and afternoon talk shows and things like that, they would interview me from sitting on a chair in an alley outside the AIDS Project Los Angeles because the camera crew wouldn't work if I came into the studio with the rest of the guests.
Right, because God forbid you looked at them, you were going to catch it, you know.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was ridiculous. Yeah, so, it was a ridiculous time.
Yeah. So anyway, so I agreed to go on Tammy's show, and they were going to fly me to Charlotte to go on the show live with her in the studio. But then they told me to send the tickets back. They sent me two first-class plane tickets to fly to Charlotte so that I would have companion because I was very weak at the time from the chemotherapy. Anyway, they decided to do it by satellite. It was the first ever satellite hookup for the PTL network. PTL was a network that Jim and Tammy built. And it was huge. It was the largest, biggest audience of any televangelist at the time. So my going on Tammy's show was a great opportunity to speak to an audience that I would never get to speak to otherwise.
Absolutely not. Now, I have to ask you this. Did you remain friends or were you close or no?
Well, you know, we exchanged greetings through the years through mutual friends. But I never did meet her in person. We had a friendly, you know, distant relationship.
Right. Well, I was going to say a few things about her, and I don't mean it rudely. It's just a thing that I noticed, and I hope it's not going to be offensive. That's why I asked if you were close, you know, close friends. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
No. I should tell you that I am good friends with her son, Jay Baker, who has told me a lot of how the family, the Baker family, and PTL was affected by my interview with Tammy Faye. It really shook everything up. And,
I could only imagine. Gay man talking about not only being gay but AIDS in a church atmosphere. Come on.
Yeah. And Tammy would defy. I mean, she was very supportive and loving and affirming and compassionate, and it infuriated the other conservative televangelists. Got her in a lot of trouble. Jay, my friend Jay Baker, their son, was 10 years old at the time, and he said that his mother started taking him and his sister to gay and lesbian friendly churches like the Metropolitan Community Churches, and began to take them to hospitals and hospices to visit people with AIDS, and they went to gay pride parades, and you know, so she really felt like she had a calling to minister to the gay and lesbian community in a very affirming way.
Did she possibly think her kids were gay? Maybe that's why?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm only kidding. No, because it was a time you couldn't be gay. Like you said, it was very secretive, and it was frowned down upon for many, many years. I can't even say how many. And to do it in a church setting, an interview, is just phenomenal for the time. Now, when I said I had things to say, I just meant now I didn't get to see the full interview. I did get to see parts of it. And what it seemed to me was that she was more concerned about explaining that it's, you know, she used the phrase, when did you find out you were different? Not when did you find out you were gay? You know
right,
what I mean? So,
right.
I found that odd, but I thought it was funny. I mean, you're the one that mentioned gay, and then it went off from there.
Yeah.
So thank God for that.
Right.
You handled that one. But, you know, and by the way, you did great with the meds. You look fabulous in the interview, and you look fantastic still to this day. So,
you do.
And in the interview, you looked really good. I know you said you weren't feeling well, but you did not look sick at all. So that amazing what the medications have done. But to me, the part of the interview I saw, it seemed like she was more concerned about the gay part of it instead of the AIDS, but I'm sure the second part of the interview went into that. I missed it, unfortunately. I'm sorry. And I said, I wasn't a big fan at the time. I mean, I knew of them, but I found and still believe that all evangelists are crooks, but that's just my opinion. And did you ever get to be a parent? You mentioned that you always wanted to be.
Oh,
did you ever get to be?
That's a good question. I never did. And, I got busy with doing AIDS ministry after I recovered from AIDS in the late 80s.
Mm.
And I became a hospice chaplain in an AIDS hospice. And I traveled all over the world telling my story of recovering from AIDS and trying to educate people about AIDS and help people with their grief over people, their beloved friends and family who had died and, that sort of thing. So I everywhere I went, they wanted me to bring the Tammy Baker interview, the videotape to show them. And
cool.
Of course now it can be seen on YouTube. It's readily available on YouTube, but,
right.
But at the time it was only on my videotape. And other than that, there was no copy as far as I knew. So,
yeah, you carried your VHS cassette tape everywhere you went.
Exactly, yeah. And they loved it. I mean, I couldn't believe, people would start giggling at first, when they first saw Tammy. And then as the interview proceeded, they began to get really quiet. And by the end of the interview, people were crying and they stood up and cheered. And I mean, it was remarkable.
Great. I can only imagine. I don't recall your interview. I apologize at the time. Like I said, it wasn't something I would have tuned into because of the fact that it was Tammy Faye related, So if it was on regular TV, I probably would have seen it. But as a pastor, I mean, you got heavily involved in helping people out. I'm sure you lost many close loved ones. I can't imagine how many people you were around that actually lost, that became loved ones through the church. So
I lost track,
such a large number. Sadly.
It was
sadly
huge. And that was happening all over the gay community, and people were dropping like flies all over the gay community, and it was just tragic. And I belonged to the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles, and back during the height of the AIDS years, there were IV poles in the rehearsal because there were so many guys singers who were sick and had to have their IV poles so they could get their infusions during rehearsal. And then at the end of most rehearsals, somebody would have died in the previous week. And so the conductor stopped and said, let's remember the person who died. And, if you want to share a story, tell that. And so 20 minutes of sharing about it. And then we finished by singing John Rutter's Gaelic Blessing. And everybody was holding on to each other and crying and crying. And it was a really important thing, a ritual, to help us deal with the grief of losing friend after friend after friend after friend.
It was horrible. It was horrible. I remember that. I did want to ask you, I'm sorry, the questions are in my head. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of the question I had for you. Oh, why do you think
I'm sorry.
Did... No. Why did you think you did so well with the medications, and are you still on medication?
Well, that's a really good question. And the bottom line is, I don't know. I'm one of only two survivors of the Suriman trials.
Wow.
It killed a number of people, and everybody else dies from the progression of AIDS within a year or two.
Wow.
And it just, and why I worked very hard at staying well and being well.
Right.
I did, nutrition and meditation and prayer and exercise and, all the things that were recommended to try and live with it and not just die with it. And I got lucky. I know a lot of people who took better care of themselves than I did, who had greater faith that they could stay alive, that they would beat it. And they, they died. And I don't know why I was so lucky as to be a survivor. And I'm very, very grateful, though.
No, you're definitely one of the chosen ones. I think your love of God and being the pastor and helping so many, you were needed to stick around. So, that's what
I think. Well, it's interesting. There are a lot of people who agree with you, actually. And the nurse who took care of people with AIDS at L.A. County Hospital, including me, was a guy named Scott, and he had been a medic in the Marines, and he was a real tough guy, but really heart of gold, very compassionate. Anyway, when I went into complete remission, he took me aside and he said, it's no mistake that this has happened to a highly visible clergyman like yourself.
Hmm.
And God needed a vehicle of hope, and you're
right,
it.
Right. Now, were you
and
a pastor?
And I took that.
Yeah,
I ran
with it. You were a pastor before you got AIDS.
I was indeed, yes. I was.
Yeah.
I went to seminary in the 70s in Chicago, and I became the pastor of the Metropolitan Community Church of Hartford in 1979 and was the pastor there for 3 years before I moved to L.A. when I started getting sick.
Yeah. Well, thank God you're fine, and thank God for Dr. Fauci. He had a lot to do with those medications, sadly, like you said, some people didn't do well with them, but they were willing to try to live their life, I wish everybody could do that now, but, in regard to something else, not AIDS, but, I would rather take a vaccine to try and live than just wait to die. Like you said, like you said, what was the phrase you said when you'd rather, I forgot what you said.
I'd rather, I'd rather take the chemotherapy and live than die.
You said something before. I'm not going to sit here and wait to die. I'd rather wait to live or something like that.
Oh, right. Well, I don't remember exactly what it was that I said there, but I know that I said I told a lot of people that we have a choice. There was so much fear, and when you have AIDS, you felt so scared. Mm-hmm. And we had a choice about being scared to death or scared to life.
There you go. That's what you're saying.
And if you're scared to death, then you feel paralyzed and you sit in your apartment and wait to die.
Right.
But if you're scared to life, then you let the fear motivate you to get out there and do everything you can to create the conditions for healing.
Right.
My doctor told me when I was first diagnosed, and it seemed like everybody was dying back then in the early 80s.
Right.
Everybody was dying from AIDS. And she told me, there are no 100% in medicine, and not everyone is going to die from AIDS. If 1 in a million people survive AIDS, why not believe that you're that 1 in a million and act accordingly?
Right.
And that was
right.
Such wise advice. Yeah.
Right. Do you think your interview opened the church a little more to acceptance of people of homosexuals, or not at all?
I think it kind of galvanized the conservative Christian community, and
right.
and Jerry Falwell, who was a rival televangelist, heard my interview with Tammy Faye and decided that was the straw that broke the camel's back for him. And he decided that he had to bring down Jim and Tammy and bring down the PTL network. And he did exactly that in the next year and a half or 2 years. He destroyed Jim and Tammy and their PTL network and everything they had built up. Of course, he was as corrupt as any of them, but it did that, but it also, I've had so many people come up to me through the decades saying that they saw the interview and that it saved their life, or it prevented them from committing suicide, because
wow.
for the first time they heard that they could be gay and Christian. They
right.
could be happy as a gay person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was just, I had no idea at the time, Joanne, that I was, that would make such a huge impact on the Christian church as well as on the LGBT community. It's, you know, at the time, I thought I hadn't done a very good job. And I remember telling a neighbor friend right after I'd done the interview, I said, you know, I don't think I did very well, and I'm really glad nobody I know will ever see it.
Yeah.
That curve didn't cut. That,
exactly.
Yeah, right.
Well, I have
now
to be honest with you. I wish I had seen it at the time. I was young. I was in my 20s at the time. And again, it was
yeah.
a time where it was kept quiet. So who knows?
Yeah.
It may have helped me. It may have helped. And
it did help others. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Had we seen it, you know, if it wasn't on Tammy Faye's show and on a regular network, I'm, you know, but like you said, now it's on YouTube. But nowadays,
right.
these kids don't need to see this. I mean, the elders open the door for them. They don't even realize how good they've got it. But that's another subject,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
in getting to the movie, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, I believe the
yes.
interview is in there, correct?
Part of
it. Plays
it
a
is.
Role?
Yeah. I mean, the interview, the original interview is 24 minutes long. And,
yeah, that's why
you know,
I didn't get to see the full thing.
Exactly. It's a kind of long interview. And so they used about 3 minutes of the interview, 3 or 4 minutes.
Hmm.
And they use it very effectively, because it in the film, it's a turning point late in the film. And it's a real turning point for Tammy and for PTL in general. They have Jerry Falwell standing backstage, losing it over, you know, the
yeah.
affirmative kind of interview that she was giving me. And
right.
I said at one point in the interview, Jesus loves me just the way I am. Jesus
Absolutely.
Loves the way I love. And that really stopped the show. You know?
Right.
But that was the point at which Jerry Falwell lost it. You know,
wow.
Jesus loves the way I love. No, the homosexual agenda shall not stand, he said.
Right.
And, so,
God
yeah.
forbid you be yourself, right?
Exactly.
Now, the interview in the movie, is it the original cut, or is it someone playing a role?
Oh, no, it's somebody playing me.
And who's playing you?
Chastain.
Who's playing you?
Randy Havens, who is a very well-respected actor here in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He's a regular on Stranger Things, if
mm-hmm.
you've ever seen that on Netflix.
Yes, yes.
And he is Mr. Clark, the science teacher and AV teacher. He's a great guy, apparently, and I haven't met him, but we've exchanged hellos on Instagram. He does a really good job, and he looks a lot like what I looked like back then.
Right, right.
And and he does a good job of evoking me. You know, it's not an imitation, but you know, the whole movie is brilliantly acted, and it's a great film. I really enjoyed it, not just because of the interview, but it's a good biopic. It really humanizes Jim and Tammy and tells their story very effectively, I thought.
Yeah, and I saw the trailer. I thought Jessica Chastain was fabulous in the role. And, I thought she was great in it. Now, to me, the trailer, what I saw, the movie appears to make her out to be a great person, but got caught up with Jim, and they're kind of blaming everything on him. So that's what I'm getting. And I don't believe that, because she knew what the hell was going on.
I mean, there are a lot of people who say that she was an innocent in all of it. I mean, it was not that she was innocent, but that she was an innocent. And she came into it with, you know, the best of intentions. But, you know, she loved all the riches. She loved all the glamour. She loved having, you know, luxury items all around her house and in this giant mansion on a lake, you know. And so, yeah, she succumbed to temptation, that's for sure. But at heart, the woman I met during those 24 minutes and the 3 minutes before the interview when I talked to her one-on-one, she was a very compassionate, warm, funny, fun kind of person.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah. I got that too. Yeah, from the interview. Yeah. Now you got to tell me about this, your fairy wand in the Smithsonian. What is up with that?
Right. Well, when I was traveling all over the world talking about AIDS and living with AIDS and all of that, I would carry this fairy wand with me everywhere I went, wherever I spoke, to talk about how people need to believe in fairies to keep them alive. You know, that we learned in Peter Pan that fairies die when people don't believe in them. And so, you know, there was a lot of good fairies in the 80s and 90s who were dying, including me, you know. And the point is, we need to believe in fairies. We need to believe in ourselves. We need to believe in each other. And we need to believe in healing and you know, possibility and hope and all of the things that the fairy wand represented. And people just loved seeing that fairy wand. They would ask for it. You know, if I didn't bring it into the pulpit or the conference room, whatever. But so in 2019, the founder of the MCC, Metropolitan Community Churches, Reverend Troy Perry, a gay pioneer. I mean, he was one of the great leaders of the gay movement in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s. And he founded this denomination as a safe place for LGBT people to worship together. And so in 2019, the curators of the Smithsonian National Museum of American History invited him to donate artifacts and documents about the Metropolitan Community Churches to the Smithsonian and as part of their LGBTQ collection. And they made its own collection, the Troy Perry MCC collection. And they asked him if he knew anybody who did AIDS ministry that could contribute. And he said, "Oh, do I know somebody?" he told me I saw him at church, and he said, "You know, how about going home and putting together a box full of AIDS ministry documents and the resources we created and during the 80s and 90s, and you know, anything you can think of that would be good in the Smithsonian, just put it all in." And so I packed this big box full of documents and the Tammy Baker interview on DVD and all of this. And at the last minute, I saw my fairy wand on the shelf, and I thought, "Do I put that? I don't want to part with that." That's right. Very close to me, you know. And then I thought, do I want to watch it collect dust on a shelf in my apartment, or do I want it in the Smithsonian?
Hello. Right. Oh,
so
my goodness.
I threw it in the box, and they were thrilled with it. They just loved it. I also typed up an explanation about it, and they just loved it.
Oh, great. Next time I go to Smithsonian, I'll have to look for it.
Yeah, or ask for it. I understand that displays are rotated there. So they the LGBTQ collection apparently is highlighted in June, for instance.
June.
But it may be highlighted at other times too. But if you don't see it, ask for it. They'll probably make a note of that.
Oh, well, I love the Smithsonian, so I'll definitely ask for it when I go.
Oh.
Now, who was the – I believe you went to the White House. Who was the president at the time?
I did. It was Bill Clinton, President Clinton, and Vice President Gore.
Yep, I was going to say Clinton. Yeah.
Because nobody – I mean, the first George Bush and Reagan – they didn't really do anything about AIDS. They were very, very slow to respond,
exactly.
If at all. And then Bill Clinton came along, and the first year that he was in the White House, he had this prayer breakfast for AIDS, and 12 of us who were the heads of our denominational AIDS ministries were invited to come to the White House and have breakfast and talk about AIDS and what the president and the administration could do.
Mm.
And because I was the person with AIDS at the banquet or the breakfast, they seated me right next to Bill Clinton and right across from Al Gore. And so what an amazing opportunity to talk the truth to, you know, and we had a wonderful conversation during breakfast before the meeting began. He was really wonderful, very affirming and very positive. And you know, it was such a privilege to share like that with the most powerful person in the world at the time, in the family dining room of the White House. Oh, my God.
Now, you also met Elizabeth Taylor, I'm assuming, the same time you probably met Ryan White as well, no?
Yes, true.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I met Elizabeth first. She got on board the AIDS cause very early on, like in 1984 and 85.
Yeah, she played a big role.
When her dear friend Rock Hudson got sick with AIDS and, of course, died in 1985. But she threw the first entertainment industry fundraiser for AIDS. And it was a huge banquet for 1,500 people. And she strong-armed like 250 of her celebrity friends to be there and perform. Many of them performed and many of them spoke. And I was the person with AIDS who spoke at the event. Mm. And Shirley MacLaine introduced me when I spoke, and I came up on stage, and she gave me a big hug. And after my speech, I talked about how, you know, they told me the worst thing they could tell me, and I can still dance. And, you know, I'm still alive. And that's why we need your help, because we're not dead yet. We need help because we're alive.
Right,
and so I showed them I could dance. I shuffled off to Buffalo, and Shirley MacLaine came back and gave me a big hug and said, "Bravo, Reverend." I'll never forget that.
Nice.
And Elizabeth was such a dynamic force in the AIDS movement. And she was delightful and wonderful and bawdy and fun and sophisticated, and I mean, she was, you know, one of the last great movie stars, and she knew how to doll it up, believe me. And at the same time, she could be just as down to earth and real and funny as anybody.
Right. Yeah, you know? I think when the celebrities got involved, it really helped a lot too. It helped a lot, you know. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and how and what, how did you wind up working for Playboy, and what were you doing for Playboy?
Here I am, this gay man. I had a 12-year career as a professional long-term survivor of AIDS and
right.
the AIDS ministry and all of that. And then 1996 and 97, the cocktail treatments were introduced to people with AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly everybody started getting well, at least in
right.
the developed countries. And so everybody got well. All the AIDS organizations downsized. I was all burnt out. I didn't want to do the work anymore anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I left the AIDS ministry job. I couldn't find work in the church, and I couldn't find work in AIDS organizations because they were all downsizing. The church, I was so associated with AIDS, they didn't think I could talk about anything else. So I was telling a good friend of mine that I went to summer camp with as a kid, as teenagers, about this dilemma. And she said, well, why don't you come to work for me?
Mm.
And this dear friend from many, many years, is Christy Hefner, Hugh Hefner's daughter. And she was at the time the CEO of Playboy.
Mm.
So I went to work in the Beverly Hills offices of Playboy. I worked in the public relations department, and I did everything from, answering phones, and I answered Hef's public line, and it was really amazing to, take calls from people around this whole thing. Anyway, lots of stories there. And I worked at Playboy Mansion parties and Playmate reunions. And one of my jobs, I worked in public relations, so one of my jobs was to interview the centerfold each month and write a press release about her.
Oh,
so
cool.
Here I was interviewing each centerfold, and I thought, oh my God, the straight men who would kill for this. And,
right.
and there were a few lesbians in my life who would kill for it too. They told me. So,
well, at least Hef didn't have to worry about you stealing any of the girls, though.
Exactly. You're guarding the harem,
Yeah,
there were a lot of gay men working at Playboy, a lot of gay men and women in powerful positions. Yeah.
Hmm.
And so I did that for 5 years, and it was a lot of fun and something completely different, obviously.
Right, right. Well, I know you're still a pastor, and you basically go to hospices that have AIDS patients in it. Now, are you also a pastor for just about everybody? I would assume, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. I'm officially retired now, but I still am on the staff at my local church, Founders Metropolitan Community Church. And so occasionally they trot me out of mothballs to preach, and occasionally they have me participate in the worship services, doing the prayers or consecrating communion or one thing or another, doing readings. But and I'm available to people, and people often call me as a pastor, just wanting to have pastoral care and counseling, and
right,
I'm delighted
right.
to be able to provide it.
Beautiful.
And I just signed with the Lecture Bureau, and so I'm going to be on the road speaking again, and I'm going to New York City for the New York City premiere, the red carpet premiere of The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Oh, cool. When is that?
On the red carpet with Jessica and that will be September 14th, and the film is actually being released to theaters on September 17th. So it's coming up.
Yeah, well, you have to let me know when you come over to New York. Maybe how long are you staying?
Oh, I'll only be there a couple nights. But
I was going to say maybe I can meet you for a coffee or something or go out to eat.
Thanks. That would be lovely, but I'm afraid I'm kind of all booked up with
interviews. No, I bet you are.
Yeah. for the premiere. Yeah. So, but thank you. That's very kind of you.
Yeah. Well, I did want to ask you one more thing going back to the interview itself. I meant to ask you this earlier.
Yeah.
Now, were you offended at all that they wanted to do the satellite and or they didn't say why to you? Or,
well,
you know what
they
I mean?
Told
obviously,
me
they didn't want you near anybody because of the fact that you had AIDS. So that's what
exactly.
Were you offended?
They well, I didn't think about that at the time, frankly.
Yeah.
I thought they were being nice to me and just not making me travel because
right.
of
you weren't
of being,
well.
Not I being kind of weak.
Yeah.
But later I found out that they were worried that I might not be treated well by the Heritage Hotel staff or maybe the camera crew, their stage crew and camera and sound people wouldn't work if I came into the studio. So they decided doing it in a satellite hookup was the best way to do it.
Yeah. Was that interview, did she do that in front of a live audience or was it just studio?
I don't know whether there was a live audience. It sounded like it because there was applause at different points, but I don't know whether that was canned. I doubt it because they usually had a live audience. I couldn't see what was going on. I didn't have any monitor, but I made a point of making sure that it was broadcast live. I didn't want them editing it to some nefarious purpose, you know,
make me
sound like I was, you know, confessing and repenting of being gay or something.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I was just curious what the reactions were to some of the things you were saying, if there was moans and groans or, but you said there was
no,
applause,
no, not at all. There, when Tammy said that, you know, that there would be lots of people here in Heritage Village who would want to reach out and give me a hug and make sure that I was comfortable and everything, the audience applauded. And, you know, I took that to be sincere. I don't know, you know, I don't know if they would have followed through with that, but I think that Tammy ended up, she often talked about how it was the LGBT community that kind of saved her after everything fell apart at PTL. And she made friends with a lot of gay men. And when she was living out here in Palm Springs, particularly, she had a lot of gay friends. And they took very good care of her, apparently. That's what I've always heard. And she was sick with cancer for 10 years before she died of it. And she was very sick with it at times. And apparently had a lot of good gay men taking care of her through that.
Mm.
So, I
have to say that the final pictures of her, I don't mean in the hospital or anything, you know, like to her publicity shots or whether she was doing an interview or whatever, totally unrecognizable.
I know.
Very
she
sad
was on
to
Larry
see.
King Live. She did an interview on Larry King Live like the day or two before she died.
Mm.
And she was completely wasted. I mean, not, you know, with drugs or anything, but
no,
wasted
her body.
Away her body and her skin was all puckered and the makeup looked, she'd had a lot of makeup tattooed on her. And it looked really kind of weird when she was as frail as she was. You know?
Yeah. And like I said, again, I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way. I just remember that she was unrecognizable. It was sad, you know, anybody to go through life like that. Is Jim still alive? I think he is, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He has a TV show that is on Monday to Friday on one of the, you know, 623 networks that are on your TV, in your cable TV. And I think it's on the Inspiration Network. And he has remarried, and he and his wife do this pretty modest TV show compared to what they used to do when
right.
Jim and Tammy were married. But he still gets up to, you know, crazy kind of fundraising deals.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, he is alive. Didn't he try touting a formula to sell to cure COVID
yes.
or something?
Yeah.
Hello.
And then lately he's been touting a blanket, which is a healing blanket. If you lie under this blanket, everything will get better.
Oh, my God.
And you only have to donate, I don't know how much, but, you know.
$1,000 for a blanket.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know how people fall for this stuff. I have no idea. But anyway, so other than the movie, the excitement of the movie next month, that'll be here before we know it. What else can we see Steve Peters doing? What are you involved in now?
I spent COVID, the lockdown, writing my memoir.
I've always intended
to write my memoir. And what a perfect opportunity COVID was. Because I wasn't going anywhere. I just sat in my apartment for 14 months.
Yeah.
Other people brought me groceries and that sort of thing. Anyway, I wrote my memoir, and I just signed with a prestigious literary agent in New York, George Greenfield, creativewell.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed for his lecture bureau as well. And so I will be hopefully doing a book tour, you know, one way or another when my memoir gets published. He's pitching it now to different publishers.
I was going to ask you if you ever considered writing a book, because, man, you've got a life to tell. You got some story to put down on that paper.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we haven't even touched the barely beneath the surface of everything that happened in those years.
Well, save that for part two.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Steve, where can people find out more about you? Do you have a website or any social people can find you on?
I have a public figure page on Facebook, Rev, R-E-V, Steve, S-T-E-V-E,
mm-hmm.
Peters, E-I-E-T-E-R-S. I'm still dancing. That's the title of the page. And people can like that, and they'll see the interviews I've been doing. I post them, you know, YouTube posts and that sort of thing. And I'm also on Instagram at ASPIETERS. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter at ASPIETERS.
Mm-hmm.
So they can find me there.
Great.
And
now, you know, because I was going to ask you if you were going to write a book.
Yeah. Well, I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm exclusively represented now by George Greenfield at Creative Well, Inc. So should I guess that
the title is called I'm Still Dancing?
Actually, that was the title of my 1991 book.
I didn't know you had another book.
A collection of my writings from the 80s. And that can still be bought at loosegravelproductions.com. That is my friend Allison Arngrim's website. And she is the actor who played Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie. And we're great friends. And she, we went shopping today for clothes for the New York premiere. It was so much fun. She has the book, I'm Still Dancing, available through her mercantile, Loose Gravel Productions.
Yeah.
And the new book, the new memoir, is tentatively titled I Keep On Dancing.
Uh-huh.
My Journey Through AIDS.
Nice. Listen, folks, Steve, I am so sorry. I apologize for the background noise. It's 100 degrees here. My son has a bunch of friends out in the pool, so I apologize if you hear guys hear fun going on. So so I apologize for that. Normally it's fairly quiet here, but again, I am so sorry if I hear that. So, but thank you.
I haven't heard a thing.
Oh, good, good. I should have kept my mouth shut. I hear them. I hear them. I'm sitting here getting annoyed, but I said, I can't. They haven't been in the pool all summer, so, and it's so hot. So anyway, but, well, okay, Steve, you have just an amazing story. Oh, you didn't answer my question earlier. Are you still having, do you still have to take the meds?
I do, and okay. I'm happy to do that. I take
of course.
About 20 medications. And, you know, better living through chemistry. I'm still alive. And
right.
a lot of the reason I'm still alive is because of the medications.
Right,
so,
right. Thank God. Thank God for that. Well, I can't thank you enough for joining me. I can't wait to see the movie. It looks great, and it'll definitely open my eyes about Tammy and Jimmy, because I didn't pay too much attention. Like I said, to me at the time, I said, oh my God, these crooks, you know, but anyway.
I know. Well, they, you know, there was that to them, definitely. But, you know, my experience of Tammy Faye was very different.
I'm sure it was. That's why I hope you weren't insulted by what I had to say about her. I apologize.
Oh, no.
I meant no disrespect.
I've heard it all before.
Yeah, I meant no disrespect, just the truth. That's all.
No.
That's all.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God. Well, what a pleasure, Steve. Thank you so much. And good luck.
Well, this was
fun. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Thank you. I always have fun with the guests. And it's always a pleasure to meet you. And when you do the book, if you guys want to come back on and help promote the book, I mean, you know where to find me. You caught me at dinner. You caught me at dinner tonight. You know where to find me.
Okay, great. Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, when you called earlier, I would have chatted with you, but they just made dinner, and I said, "Oh God, I just finished working,
no.
So let me eat dinner before they get upset because the family likes to eat together." So whatever.
Yeah.
But I apologize. But
no problem.
Yeah. Well, Steve, again, what a pleasure meeting you. You are a godsend and a miracle all wrapped in one. And I thank you so much for what you do, what you did. And God knows how many people you've helped and were there for them when they needed you, and you're still there for them, and it's just amazing. And I'm sure the movie's going to do great, and I got to catch it. I got to catch it because, you know, now that we've talked, I definitely have to see it. So maybe it'll open my eyes. Maybe the eye of Tammy Faye will open my eyes about Tammy Faye.
Right? Right.
So,
okay, I hope so,
Yeah. Well, everybody,
if
you want to find out more about Steve, go to Rev Steve Peters. I'm Still Dancing, and he's got a new book coming out.
I Keep On Dancing, My Journey Through AIDS.
Yep. I Keep On Dancing, My Journey Through AIDS. It'll be out soon, and go check out The Eyes of Tammy Faye, the new movie coming out in September, folks. Steve, thank you again. God bless you, and stay well, and have a great time in New York. And, hey, I'll come and kick it with you if you want. I know Allison. She's been on the show before.
Okay.
I'm literally five minutes away.
Yeah.
I'm 5 minutes away.
Okay.
We could go hang out.
All right. Well, thank you. I've got your number, so.
Yes,
right.
You do.
Well,
all right. Well, everybody, Steve Peters. Thank you, Steve. Take care. Good luck and have a blast.
God bless you, Joanne.
You
Thanks.
Too. Thank you, honey. Take care. Bye-bye.
Right.
Oh, boy. What a story. I mean, for those of you who remember, I mean, the AIDS crisis was just absolutely horrible. I mean, people were dying left and right. And again, just to look, people felt that just to look at somebody with AIDS to catch it, and it was a horrible time. It really was. And the way they made it out to be a gay disease was even more horrible. But you know, you can live with it. He is living proof that you can live with AIDS and be fine and happy. I mean, he's an amazing human being, my goodness. So thank you again, Steve Peters, and go check out the movie, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, especially if you were a Tammy Faye fan and or Jim Baker, And if not, like I said, this may open your eyes about her. And the trailer I saw, like I said, to me, they're trying to make it come across like she knew nothing or whatever, but you know she did. But I'm sure it's going to shed a good light on her. And maybe, you know, I'm sure there wasn't so good things, but I'm sure you'll still see the good side of Tammy Faye. So The Eyes of Tammy Faye coming out in September, new movie. Go check it out. And if you can get a chance, I'm going to watch the rest of it. The interview that Steve was talking about, the infamous interview, it's up on YouTube. You know, I didn't ask him, but I guess you could just go to Steve Peters on YouTube and put Steve Peters interview with Tammy Faye on YouTube, and I'm sure you'll get it. Steve, S-T-E-V-E, Peters, P-I-E-T-E-R-S, Peters. So go check that out. Thank you again, Steve. And last night, my goodness, I have to say, we had on Alex Angel. We've had a lot of psychics on this show. I have them on because I know you guys love it. I love it too. I mean, I just feel you have to believe to receive. And, you know, I met Alex on YouTube, and she was doing tarot readings for my sign, for Scorpio. And the reading was fabulous. And everyone she did was either true, what she said, or that it was coming true. And it's amazing. So she read me a couple times after that, and she said things that no one would know. No one would know unless you were a close family member of mine, my mother, because my mother's the one who said it. And it was crazy, crazy. But she is really great, on the money, and what a inspirational speaker as well. And when I met her, I was kind of down in the dumps, and she picked me up. So she definitely can definitely enlighten you in many ways. So Alex Angel, go check her out. I'm going to have her back. She's speaking of the month of August every